Load or Leave It is brought to you by Built. Whether you're renting or paying a mortgage, one of your biggest monthly expenses should be working harder for you. That's where Built comes in. Built is the membership for where you live that rewards you with points on every housing payment wherever you live. Built started out rewarding members on their rent. As of 2026, Built members can also earn points on mortgage payments too. Every housing payment earns you points you can use with top travel partners like United and Hyatt, or use your points towards Lyft rides, Amazon.com purchases, and so much more. Personally, I'd redeem my points for fitness classes because I like to feel both financially savvy and ripped. But here's the most underrated part. Built members also get access to neighborhood concierge. It can make restaurant reservations, book fitness classes, and find new local spots, all while being rewarded at more than 45,000 merchant partners. It's like having a personal assistant at no extra cost. It's simple. Being a renter and now owning a home is better with Built. Join the membership for where you live at joinbuilt.com/loveit. That's joinbuilt.com/loveit. Make sure to use our URL so they know we sent you. Welcome to Love It or Leave It, live from Los Angeles. Please, calm down. I'm John Lovett, picked last for Dodgeball, picked first for Screwworm. We've got a great show for you tonight. Jerry O'Connell is here. Jay Farrow is here. Zach Zucker is here. But first, let's get into it. What a week. On Tuesday night, Trump said we were on the verge of a deal to finally end the war in Iran.
We're in the final throes of what will be a very, very good deal, and the strait will open up right away. It'll open up immediately upon signing, which could be in 2 or 3 days.
2 or 3 days? Why, it's been 2 or 3 days. Let's check in and see if our big boy was right.
The U.S. attacking Iran, Iran now retaliating, a dangerous escalation in the war that's now on day 102.
Oh, so we weren't 2 or 3 days away from a deal at all. I haven't been this shocked since the time I asked the cast of Real Housewives of Rhode Island to come to my nephew's recital as long as they promised to sit quietly and not get drunk and call each other whores. On Thursday, President Trump called into Fox and Friends to discuss the latest strikes.
And they're getting decimated, just decimated, and they're dying to make a deal. They want to make a deal so badly. But, you know, you read the New York Times and you read the Wall Street Journal, which is so fake. I mean, I know you guys own it, but it's a real piece of garbage.
Sometimes he's funny. What are you going to do? Trump talks about Iran the way your delusional friend talks about her non-existent relationship. So how are things going with Jeff? He's obsessed with me and said he cannot wait to hang out after he gets through award season. The president went on to say this.
Not hitting him hard enough. We dropped $250 million worth of bombs on him last night. You know, it's, the whole thing is crazy. But they're really in submission. They just don't know it yet.
$250 million bomb. What did he drop on Iran? The Mandalorian and Grogu? Speaking of not working, new Labor Department data released Wednesday found that inflation hit a three-year high of 4.2%. Do you miss me yet, said Joe Biden, his robe wide open. Trump, however, isn't worried.
Are you concerned, Mr. President, about the latest inflation number which came out this morning? Could that be a...
No, I love it. The numbers were great. I love the inflation.
So he runs to stop inflation, then personally causes prices to spike through tariffs and the war. Then he says he loves inflation. Like if you insisted on replacing your own septic tank instead of hiring professionals and then telling everyone in your life that you actually love the smell of raw sewage. Trump also revealed there was a secret mission.
No, I can say it now, something you didn't know. Do you know we've been taking out millions of barrels of oil? Nobody knows it. You know who doesn't know about it? Iran, until right now.
Shh, Mr. President, that was a dream you had at the Knicks game. This is, of course, not true. You can't secretly move oil tankers through the Strait of Hormuz because they're giant fucking oil tankers that you can see from the shoreline. Trump later posted that this daring heist was successful because, quote, the United States of America controls the Strait of Hormuz, not Iran. Their military is defeated and their economy is lost. It's over for Iran. Say it again, but slower, said Lindsey Graham, soaked head to toe in crude oil. Speaking of terrible mental images, journalists Maggie Haberman and Jonathan Swan published an excerpt from their upcoming book detailing the Trump White House's internal deliberations over the Epstein files last summer. According to the report, J.D. Vance, Kash Patel, Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, comedian Bert Kreischer for some reason, and Trump's Chief of Staff Susie Wiles convened in the White House Situation Room to strategize a response. There was no Bert Kreischer. He was not there. Just saying. If you're worried, if you like Bert Kreischer, he wasn't in the secret White House deliberations over the Epstein files. I made that up. Trump refused to entertain any plan to release the files. Said Trump, "We just have to treat this story like a teenage girl and wait 6 months for it to get old and boring." Everybody okay over there? All right. According to the excerpt in the Times, Vance suggested that Tucker Carlson interview Ghislaine Maxwell in prison. It's an amazing idea. I love it. I am furious it didn't happen. This is like when you find out that we almost had a Superman with Nicolas Cage. It wouldn't have been good. It would have been a disaster, but it should still exist. Dan Bongino, who was then FBI deputy director, tore into Attorney General Pam Bondi over the fiasco, saying, "You fucked this thing up from the start. That dumb fucking charade with the Epstein files, the they're on my desk nonsense." Bongino told the White House that Bondi needed to resign and called the Epstein saga Trump's Iran-Contra. This was, of course, last year, before Iran became Trump's Iran-Contra. In the report's creepiest passage, during yet another meeting in the White House Situation Room, a senior aide described an unsealed civil suit, which described an accuser's allegation about, and I am sorry, Trump aggressively flicking and sucking a young woman's nipples until they looked incredibly painful. The meeting abruptly ended because everyone puked and shat and died. In other disgusting little worm news, Texas has seen an outbreak of disgusting little worms. Yes, screw worms, eradicated in this country since the 1960s, are back. But don't let the name scare you. So-called screw worms are actually nothing more than flesh-eating bugs that lay eggs in open wounds and in the eyes, ears, nose, mouth, or genitals, hatching into parasitic maggots that burrow into the living tissue of livestock, pets, and human beings. Said RFK Jr., yum! Last year, DOGE cut funding for screwworm monitoring programs and over 1,000 employees from USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. Trump administration also lifted a suspension of Mexican cattle imports, allowing livestock into the country without monitoring that had been in place. The Trump administration is, of course, blaming Joe Biden and immigrants. Here's Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins.
Now, this does trace back to the last administration and the open border policy and the movement of millions of people and their animals up through from South America through Central America.
So let's just understand what she's suggesting here. These dastardly woke screwworms snuck into the country under Joe Biden, and then they just hid, waiting almost 2 years to start attacking cattle in order to make Trump look bad. Texas Agricultural Commissioner, so fucking stupid. He's been president. I'm sorry, but he's been president for 2 years. They're bugs. We all have dealt with bugs. If you have bugs, you don't say, "God damn it, that gardener 3 years ago really fucked up." We all know how fucking bugs work. It's quick with bugs. Texas Agricultural Commissioner Sid Miller slammed the administration for moving too slowly and said that you can look for higher beef prices because of the failure of the USDA to control this pest. Now, before I tell you if Sid Miller is a Democrat or a Republican, I'm going to show you a picture of this man and you'll guess. What do we think? Do we think he voted for Kamala or Trump? So hard to know. Imagine if this were your dad and you had to tell him you were gay and that you wanted to borrow his fabulous vest. Now, in response, Brooke Rollins slammed Miller, who is a Republican, and called him, quote, an unserious ag commissioner with just a few months left, because he, like all of us, will soon be food for the screwworms. Now, as of this recording, there are 7 confirmed screwworm cases in the U.S., including one dog in New Mexico. Thanks for stepping in to kill that dog infected with screwworm, Christy Noem. Said, Said Christy Noem, the dog had what now? But not to worry. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley is on the case. Here he is questioning Rollins on Wednesday.
It's been a couple months, maybe 3 months, since I talked to you about vaccination for screwworms. We talked about it, and you were going to look into it. So what's the chances of use of vaccination to get us beyond it?
Right. So the screwworm is a flesh-eating pest and not a virus or a disease.
Chuck, we don't have vaccines for things you can hold in your hand. You represent a farm state. Vaccine for bugs, that's a hammer. And besides, we're not going to solve this thing by giving cows autism. On Thursday, Rollins unveiled her new plan.
Department of Homeland Security, we talked yesterday about using their drones and perhaps through very quick innovation, having an artificial intelligence piece of this, where you put AI on the drones that they can fly across all of our millions of acres of wildlife in this state.
When reached for comment, the AI drone said, "You're right to push back. Those weren't Yorkshire pigs with screwworm. That was a Bucky's parking lot after a Texas A&M game. My apologies for the confusion. If you'd like, I can generate a list of local funeral homes." Imagine it's 2024, brat summer. You suddenly find yourself transported to 2026, and you find out that the Trump administration is planning to deploy AI drones to fight the flesh-eating worms. Then whoosh, you're back in 2024. Do you tell anyone, or do you just kill yourself? Well, you made your decision, and in Maine, they made theirs. Graham Plattner won the Democratic primary and addressed the controversy surrounding his candidacy.
If you believe, as I do, that we can change our politics and change our country, then you must also believe that people can change. Yeah! And the reason I believe that is because I have lived it. And the reason that I have lived it is because of my wife.
Yeah! Which is why I am proud to reveal my new tattoo, my beautiful wife doing a Heil Hitler in tasteful blackface. Plattner also previewed his attacks against Susan Collins.
She has become just as spineless and corrupt as the establishment she now serves. She got elected promising to protect Roe versus Wade, only to turn around and put a justice in the Supreme Court who overturned it. She lied to us.
Which is why I am proud to reveal my other new tattoo, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, doing a Heil Hitler in tasteful blackface. Meanwhile, in South Carolina, Congresswoman Nancy Mace finished fifth in her state's gubernatorial primary, failing to advance to the runoff. For her part, Delaware Congresswoman Sarah McBride had this message for her erstwhile antagonist during a speech to gay advocates.
I don't like punching down, and I believe in the politics of grace. So all I will say is happy Pride, Nancy.
Revealing a truth Nancy Mace couldn't find in her policing of every women's room in Capitol Hill, Sarah McBride is serving cunt. All right. We have got a great show for you tonight. We'll be right back with Jerry O'Connell.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Quince. In the summer, I don't want to overthink what I'm wearing. I just want clothes that are easy to throw on but still look put together, and it's not a lot to ask. That's why I keep coming back to Quince. They focus on high-quality essentials and well-made basics, but without the luxury markup. They make the kind of rare, elevated pieces that consistently create effortless looks. Quince European linen pants and shirts are the perfect warm weather upgrade to add to your rotation starting at just $34. Their tees are soft and easy to wear, and their lightweight cotton sweaters are perfect for cooler summer nights. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middlemen, so you're paying for quality, not brand markup. I love Quince. I have sheets from there. I have sweatpants from there. I have a polo from there. I have a bag from there. They have great stuff. It's always worth going to check out what Quince has because they'll often have something at a better price that's better than what you get at a more expensive place. Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/loveit for free shipping on your orders and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/loveit for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/loveit. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by ZBiotics. Let's face it, after a night with drinks, I don't bounce back the next day like I used to. I have to make a choice. I can either have a great night or a great next day. That is, until I found pre-alcohol. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly and you'll feel your best tomorrow. I love ZBiotics. I use it all the time. I'm a huge fan of it. It's great to take when you know you're going to have a couple of drinks because you really do feel better the next morning. We had it at my wedding. People really loved it. Highly recommend it. Go to ZBiotics.com/loveit to learn more and get 15% off your first order. When you use Love It at checkout, ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're not satisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, head to ZBiotics.com/loveit and use code Love It at checkout for 15% off. Jerry O'Connell will be joining us in just a moment. But first, if you're a friend of the pod, thank you. And if you're not, please consider becoming a paid subscriber. Subscribers get tons of bonus content, ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, access to our Substack newsletters. You get Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster, which is deep dive into polls. You get ad-free breaking news episodes. And your subscription supports independent media that you can trust. So please go to crooked.com/friends to sign up. It is a great way to help build a pro-democracy media company as part of an ecosystem that's trying to take on the right, and it really helps us get more information to more people, and so thank you for being part of this community. Also, if you are in LA, do not miss our very special two-part Pride episode on June 16th featuring Otsko Okotska, Drag Race winner Mikey Meeks, legendary joke writer Bruce Valanche, Brendan Scannell, Ashley Ray, and more. So go to crooked.com/events to get more information. All right. He's the only straight man whose opinion on reality TV I ever care to hear. Please welcome to the stage, Jerry O'Connell. Hi, nice to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Hi, buddy. What an honor to be here. Oh, man, just trying not to get screwworm this summer.
Got it. Hey, listen.
So funny. Is there any prevention? Can we use, like, bug spray or anything, or...
I think that only excites them.
Also, waiting for that Strait of Hormuz to open up. Unless, like, this summer's just anxious so far.
Yeah. Yeah, we got the Strait of Hormuz. We got not enough action on the Strait of Hormuz. Too much screwworm action.
It is funny. I am on Strait of Hormuz watch. I wake up in the morning. I do personal business. I'm older, so I have to go do personal business immediately. And... I checked to see if that strait opened up, and here we are, another day. The strait's not open up.
Yeah, it's a bummer about that. So you're watching Real Housewives?
I have not started watching Rhode Island yet. I'm so sorry. I know.
Oh, my God. It feels, you know what? It's because they all already, it's you're back in a world where it feels like they've been fighting since long before the camera showed up.
So it is crazy that we do like our housewives to be volatile with each other. No one here condones violence. Like, not at all. Just want to say, Love It or Leave It does not condone violence.
Thank you. Except if
it's in the form of housewives. I do hear that the Real Housewives of Rhode Island gets back to just jealous fighting. I mean, it's not about, like, selling, like, products. It's just about, like, people, like... getting upset with their neighbors, which is what we look for. I will say, I am coming off of the whole Summer House thing, which is on Bravo. If those don't know, it's a group of people who've been getting sort of a summer share, and there was a big controversy about people hooking up with people. I've been a little quiet about that because there was a big controversy that happened where one of the housemates who was married, who was no longer married, hooked up with another male housemate, and the young lady who hooked up with the other housemate. I know everyone's confused right now. I'm so sorry. We should probably, a lot of people tuned in to talk about politics and now they're talking about this. I'm so sorry. But I did take the side of the two people who hooked up because I felt like especially the young lady, Amanda Batula is her name, was looking for... just looking for a relationship, and I felt bad for her. And you're gonna get a bunch of comments calling me a monster after saying that. But
how could you say that?
I know. I just
with everything that's going on.
But I should be talking more about my movie on Tubi.
Summer's Last Resort.
I'm not getting paid for it all.
Summer's Last Resort.
Yes. Good
Good, very good title.
Summer's Last Resort. It's a puzzle of a title.
Yeah, it's a really good title. Emily, our writer, came up with a really fun. I'm not even kidding. It's so funny when I tell people I'm in a movie called Summer's Last Resort. They're like, well, like Hollywood types are like, good title. But I play a stepfather who's trying to befriend my new teenage stepchildren. And we go on a vacation, and I'm trying to marry Sophia Bush, my co-star, beautiful young lady, great actress. We had a lot of fun together. We shot in hotels, so it really wasn't work. I imagine it's what, like, White Lotus is like. Like, you just live in a hotel, and they're like, all right, wake up. You got to go to work. And it's like, yeah, I'm at the pool already. Just roll camera.
Mike White, a genius. He's like, I have an idea. We're going to go to the nicest resorts on planet Earth for 6 months at a time. And what an incredible.
I know, and it's such a great show as well.
So good.
This is a little more family-friendly Summer's Last Resort. It's not like the...
The gays are trying to kill me kind of thing, like, from The White Lotus.
It's not like, yeah, graphic sex.
That's too bad.
It's not like the graphic sex from, like, White Lotus. Remember when the nephew is with the uncle in the bedroom and... Yeah, there was graphic sex, oral sex.
Yeah, yeah, all kinds of stuff happened
in
that
show.
Yeah,
there was.
Not in your movie.
No. And by the way, I'm sorry, Tubi, if we're even affiliated with that. It is a family movie. It's just Love It or Leave It is a little racier, so I was getting a little racy
whatever.
There.
You can say whatever.
It's a really fun family movie. And you know what? I'm actually going to get serious for a second.
Okay.
We have a big star in Summer's Last Resort named Violet McGraw, who is a young actress. I believe she's 15. And she's so good. And I want to say, like, I want to get serious for a moment. I was a child actor. I was in Stand By Me. Yeah. Thank you. I was kind of expecting a larger applause for that. I was a child actor. I was in a little movie called Stand By Me.
Thank you.
Wow, thank you. This is great.
Amazing. That's beautiful.
Love
almost
your audience.
Almost too much.
Rob Reiner, God rest his soul, recently passed away, and his wife Michelle. And it made me very reflective about what Rob Reiner did for me, like in terms of being in the entertainment industry, what is expected of me as a performer, what I'm good at, who I am, not to be afraid to make jokes, like to go for it. Like if you want to make a joke about a screw worm, go, like try it. Like just get crazy, go for it. I've this is the first Summer's Last Resort on Tubi coming out this summer. Was the first project I did since Rob Reiner passed, and I was working with this young cast member, Violet McGraw, and I was like, I'm gonna try and instill in her what Rob instilled in me. And like, we had a really fun time. I really have like, since Rob's passing, I really have like a different role on sets, you know? I don't know if it's getting older. I just have like I enjoy working with younger people and sort of passing on what Rob really passed on to me in Stand By Me. Sorry to get so serious, everybody.
No, it's but, not. What do you feel like as someone who, there's a lot of people that started acting at a young age and it is brutal and cruel and they don't make it out, right? It fucks them up for a long time and they struggle. What do you have advice you give to a young person on set? Do you have lessons that you think young actors need to know that the parents of young actors should know?
Yeah, I was in a little movie called Stand By Me. God, audiences always do that, man. It's crazy. My parents, when it came out and it was really successful, I was fortunate enough that my success in Stand By Me didn't change how they were going to raise me as a child. I don't know if that makes any sense. I think you see a lot of younger actors, if they find success because they're good, because they have that thing, you know? And I was fortunate enough to be with Rob Reiner, who literally, like, day one was like, hey, Jerry, go crazy in this scene. Like, go crazy and I'll tell you when to come down. And it taught me to, when I come out on stage, to perform, you know? And, like, someone will tell you, like, I mean, Mr. L, you'll tell me when to take it down a notch, right?
I mean, I could, I won't.
But I my parents, my success in Stand By Me, our family didn't revolve around that. My mom was a teacher, my dad worked in an office, and I went to college. You know, education was the most important thing to my parents. And then when I was an adult, I realized I want to pursue this. Like, A, I'm good at it, depending on what comments you read on Reddit. But and also, I've had such a head start being in Stand By Me. You know, if I walk into a casting room, people are like, oh, yeah, you were in that movie. And so I was fortunate enough to not have parents who... So I can't blame the kids and, like, their decisions. I think it has a lot to do with their parents and the sort of the world that they put them in. Tell me when the show starts.
Yeah, once we get the cameras in position, we're going to hit it up. We're going to get going. Now, I do want to ask you about a show that I loved, which was Sliders. And it's funny, we were talking about this because you were coming on the show, that, like, there's a lot of people now that say something like, oh, once Trump got elected, we slid into the wrong timeline. The Marvel Universe is all about different universes now. Like, we live in a post-Sliders world, I'm often saying.
All right, let me just explain for the 99.999% who have no idea what you're talking about. Didn't realize you were such a sci-fi nerd, Mr. L, but I was in a TV show called Sliders in the mid-90s on Fox, and it was about a group of strangers who slide to parallel dimensions of Earth, and they're trapped just going from one parallel Earth to the next with slight tweaks. By the way, this is pretty incredible. You can look it up. In 1995, we do an episode where Donald Trump is president of the United States. Yeah, look it up.
What?
Look it up.
I don't remember that.
Look it up.
I remember the one where the Golden Gate Bridge was blue.
That was one.
And I think you guys should have stayed there.
By
it
the
was
way,
close enough.
I believe the episode where Donald Trump was president of the United States, we quickly slid to another world. I'm not saying why we slid or not. That was our choice. But the next world we went to, this is not a joke. Look it up. I may be a little bit wrong, but Hillary Clinton was the president in the other world. This is in the mid-90s. I'm not joking. That was our writers. Our writer who created it, Tracy Torme, used to come up with these really cool, like parallel universes. And just he was very politically minded and really smart.
What if he was a time traveler? Who had slid?
Thank you.
People are freaking out about Sliders here. They're loving it.
Yeah, but it was a multiverse show, and it was before like the Marvel Universe does all the multiverse stuff. It's occasionally, very rarely, someone will come up to me and be like, "Dude, you're the multiverse guy." And yeah. Like, I really feel like I'm the only you, like the three of us, this gentleman right here. That's
well,
I kid.
It's time for a game we're calling "Hope You Have the Timeline of Your Life." Here's how it's going to work.
Okay.
I'm going to give you two Earth timelines, and you're going to pick the one you'd rather live in, okay?
These are Sliders timelines.
These are inspired by Sliders.
Okay.
First up, a universe where we have universal basic income, but we also have giant carnivorous sandworms, like the movie Tremors,
yeah.
Or a universe where we've eradicated malaria, but Jeffrey Epstein is the president.
Oh,
and,
gosh. Oh,
and,
God.
And
I can't.
You're in a 20-year binding contract to host the talk.
The talk was a daytime show I hosted for 5 or 6 seasons. Love everybody who was a part of it. Thank you so much. It was a good time. Anything with Epstein has got to go. I'm going to choose the sandworms and the universal.
Great.
The universal
good
income.
Choice. Good choice. Good choice.
You can't. Wow, that Epstein stuff. Just way to turn me off. Wow.
Sorry.
I would have loved that talk money for a few more years, but you had to throw Epstein's photo up there.
That's what makes it a complicated thing. A universe where Hillary Clinton won the 2016 election, but all food tastes like Peeps. Or a universe where Hillary Clinton won the 2016 election, but once a day at a random time, you, Jerry O'Connell, shit your pants And the paparazzi follow you constantly until it happens that day because it's like part of our national culture.
Well, I mean, wait, what was the thing with the Peeps?
For everyone on Earth, all food tastes like Peeps all the time.
Oh, yeah, I'll take that. Peeps are incredible.
So you're telling me, but listen to what you've just chosen. You have said that you want to consign all human beings on Earth to only basically taste Peeps forever, or you can make a sacrifice and just shit yourself at a random time once a day. Then food is great. But now nobody will know about the Peeps part of it.
All right, you know what? Let me switch my answer. Do the shitting my pants.
I just
and
think
everybody
just like sort of,
me.
It's all like right. Almost like...
I don't care.
You see what I'm saying? It's
just sort of, like, don't make fun of me, guys. No, I did it for the greater good.
Yeah, I did
you know?
It for the greater good. You better be cool about it. Next up, a universe where you are married to your Sliders co-star, John Rhys-Davies, but he's cheating on you with your brother, Charlie O'Connell.
Sure, yeah.
Or a universe where you and John Rhys-Davies are blissfully married, but the world is also populated with cyborg Terminators that look just like John Rhys-Davies.
I don't know. I'm sort of I'm a modern love kind of guy. I wouldn't mind. Like, my brother, myself, and John Rhys-Davies are in a three. No, I'm not. I don't have to have sex with my brother.
No,
right?
It could be at separate times for
okay,
sure.
Yeah, I don't have sex with my brother. That's like getting weird. But yeah, I'm okay with John and my brother.
Yeah,
you know,
okay, wow. That's what I'm open. That's a, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
I'm open minded. Cool. I'm
yeah,
cool, man.
It's fine. You're not going to be jealous.
Come on, Mr. L. You know, I'm cool. I'm loose.
Mr.
I'm loose.
L. Mr. L. A universe where Palantir...
Hold on a second. Remember when Billy Dee Williams had to rescind saying he was sexually fluid? Remember
yes.
Someone asked him if... Someone asked Billy Dee Williams if he was fluid, and he was like, yeah, fluid. Yeah, fluid.
Yeah.
Everybody's fluid. And then someone explained to him what it meant, and he was like, no, I'm not that. It's like, that just made me think of me going, hey, man, I'm cool. I was about to say fluid, but I was like, no.
A universe where Palantir has turned the entire world into one cop-style reality TV show, and everyone loves you on it, you're like the breakout star. Or a universe where we have a food replicator, like in Star Trek, but Rebecca Romijn only knows you as that annoying guy she met one time who did push-ups to impress her at the 2004 Maxim Hot 100 party in Las Vegas.
Okay. I think I'm going to be happy about this. I don't know what Palantir is.
Oh, it's like a big tech kind of surveillance company.
See? I'm so glad I don't know what that is. So, oh, no. Maybe I should know what it is so that I know that I'm being like watched by electric eyes.
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah, it's like that. Like private eyes are watching you.
Yeah, I'm not into that. I'm going to choose anything with my wife. I love my wife. We just had something to eat. I love her. Yeah,
but that's how you met, right? You were doing push-ups in some sort of an event.
I wasn't doing push-ups. We met at a. Your audience is so young; they're not going to know what this is. Maxim Hot 100 party. It was Maxim was a magazine with like hot people on. It wasn't Playboy, sir.
It wasn't Playboy.
It wasn't nudity.
Shame on you. You know that that's not true.
One who was just in the audience was like Playboy.
It was a lad mag at a time. It was with Maxim and stuff, and it was called a lad mag, and it had articles in it, but also babes and so forth, and it was fine.
And it was like gadgets and
boobies. Thank you, Jerry O'Connell.
Hey, thank you so much.
His new movie, Summer's Last Resort,
is
on Tubi this summer. We'll be right back. He's going to stick around. We'll be right back with Jay Farrow.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Stamps.com. We could all use a few more hours, even minutes, to ourselves. Skip your trip to the post office and stop letting mail steal your precious little time. With Stamps.com, you can print postage and shipping labels from your computer or phone 24/7 with up to 90% off UPS, USPS, FedEx, and more. No lines, no trips, no waiting. Get everything done in minutes and even schedule a free pickup so carriers come right to you. Whether you're sending letters, contracts, important legal documents, or packages, Stamps.com makes mailing simple for businesses of all sizes, including multiple location offices. You can even send certified mail with proof of delivery right from your desk. There's just not enough time in the day. There's so many things you want to get done. If you can not have to go to the post office, that'll save you a bunch of time. So that's awesome. If mailing is taking more time and more money than it should, try Stamps.com for free for 4 weeks and get a welcome kit. Go to Stamps.com/love it to get this offer today. That's Stamps.com/love it. Stamps.com/love it. Taxes and fees apply. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Cook Unity. Eating out at restaurants is great, but it's also expensive. The good news is you can actually get that level of culinary satisfaction at home for way less than a night out. Cook Unity is the first chef-led meal delivery service that makes your meals in small batches inside local kitchens across the U.S., not factories. So every dish arrives with the kind of freshness you get at the restaurant itself. We're talking meals from Michelin-starred chefs, James Beard winners, and Food Network stars. Go to cookunity.com/lowly or use code lowly before checkout for 50% off your first week. I love Cook Unity. I use it all the time. I have it all the time. This is what I got this week. I got the night market chicken, which is great. Got a carne asada breakfast burrito, which was great. Chicken and broccoli pasta, soy roasted shrimp chow mein. I got the Mediterranean braised chicken. I like to get ones that have a protein, a carb, and a vegetable, you know, get my cover all my bases. And I get 6 meals a week, which means just a couple times a week, I know I don't have to cook dinner or I don't have to get takeout or I don't have to eat something bad. I have a healthy, delicious thing waiting for me. So I highly recommend it. Taste what happens when real award-winning chefs make fresh, small batch meals just for you. Go to cookunity.com/lowly or enter code lowly before checkout to get 50% off your first order. That's 50% off your first order by using code LOLI or going to cookunity.com/LOLI, cookunity.com/lowly.
Welcome to the stage, comedian, actor, musician, and the real Barack Obama. It's Jay Farrow.
Uh-oh. What's up?
Good to see you. Welcome back. Good to see you again. Come on in.
Time, baby. Where is it? Right here? Where I sit beside
right there.
You? Okay,
yeah, that's great.
Cool. All right.
Hi.
Yeah. What's up?
Hi.
What's happening?
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
So you have a new album on Friday. And it's called The Odyssey.
Yes.
And now, there's another Odyssey.
Yeah, but you know, they plagiarized.
Oh.
And the reason I say that is because actually, we created this 2 years ago. We're just putting it out now. So, yeah, Christopher Nolan stole from us, you know? Yeah, it ain't the same thing. You're not going to see no Greek mythology monsters or no half-naked white men running around. There's none of that. You know what I'm saying? This is all music. It's Jay Farrow in another type of dimension, but the same type of core values. You feel me? Yeah. Okay. All right, so because this guy had all the power in the world. He was on a mission to find another planet, so because Earth is trash, and you know what I mean, this is later, and he gets all this power, and he gets all this money, and he saves these folks, and he realizes that having all of that means nothing unless you have love, man, and he finds love, and that is the greatest theme, you know, and the greatest gift that you could do is give everything back, because you can't take any of it with you. You know, so, yeah.
I disagree.
You disagree.
No. For me, you have to get as much as you can, climb the greasy pole, get to the top, and then just behold.
Go to the parties, go to the Diddy parties.
It's all about the parties. It needs to be loud, because otherwise thoughts.
Yeah, right.
You gotta keep it loud.
Keep it loud, otherwise thoughts.
But as long as you don't let your thoughts in, success.
Loud and slippery.
Slippery, loud. Yeah. Wet, loud, slippery.
Wet, loud, and slippery.
Yeah, hot,
like
hot.
This. Whoosh, whoosh.
Yeah, that's what life should feel like.
Look, some people are freaked out. that impressed. That was spot on. I'm not going to explain what I just impersonated, but it was spot on, you know, for the people who follow me right now. Yeah.
It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too. You know what, man? I love talking like myself, because I'm funny as me. You know, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of cool to just be able to kick it. Just, you know, y'all don't know whether I'm doing a character, but I promise you, this is my real voice.
But do you...
Yeah.
Is it weird being yourself now?
You
got to hide behind people for a long time.
I did. But you know what, man? I'm 38, dog. It's about time to... Yeah, that's right. Clap. Yeah, clap for the millennials. Yeah, that's right. We can write cursive. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah,
that's what we got.
The Q is weirder than you think. Remember that Q?
Yeah,
the cursive Q. Like,
yeah,
why
man.
Is it a two? What are we doing here?
Yeah, man.
It's basically a two. What are we doing here?
You know what, man? We had to do home row keys and all of that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we survived school lunches. You remember? Because school lunches were bad for us. They gave us that spoiled chocolate pet milk. Yeah. And then they gave us the rectangle pieces of pizza with the cute pepperonis and that little orange crust at the bottom. Yeah. Nobody told you what the crust was. You just ate it. You were a kid. Your body's great. You know, you're not going to die. You're not going to die yet, you know.
No.
And then, you know, we had to take the physical fitness test. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whether you was fat or skinny. Yeah. It was a lot of little boys running around flapping breasts, you know, like, I was one of them. Mine was flapping. All my friends was like, yo, dog, I ain't know you was so thick. I said, I don't know why you looking at me like that. And that was really weird. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we had to do that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, good.
I remember, it's such a crazy thing to make kids. Hey, once a year on a random Tuesday, you're going to have to run a mile.
I know.
In front of everyone. We don't prepare you for this.
What?
We don't tell you. And basically, we're just going to find out who's first and who's last. And the kids that are first, they're going to wait for you to finish. That was terrible for me.
It was for you?
Terrible.
It was terrible for us. This is bad for us. We grew up.
I remember we were picking teams for something.
Yeah.
And it was me and this other little boy, and he had thick glasses and played the clarinet, and I was me.
Wow.
And it came down to just the two of us about who was going to be picked last. And when he looked at me and saw that it was just me and him, he burst out crying. And I'm like, why are you crying? I'm consoling him because he's so sad to be at my level. And I was like, why are you crying? This was always how it was going to be.
Look, man, Chucky Fister wasn't having it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He didn't like what was going on, man. You got picked last, too? I did, too, but only because I was built like my sister at the time. Yeah.
Were you chubby as a kid?
Yeah, I was chubby. I had hips, you know. And you know what? Still to this day, you know, when I do the squats, I'll be a little weary. You know, I'll be like, yo, if I keep going, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be a fatty girl. You know what I'm saying?
Jerry was chubby as a kid.
You were chubby?
I was husky. I wasn't.
Yeah.
But his character in Stand By Me, which is 40 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So Jerry.
He represented the husky.
Yeah. You remember there was a section in the Montgomery wards for husky folks.
Yes.
Remember that? You know, husky is just a way of people calling you thick politely because it there's nobody. You ain't gonna walk into a party, yeah, son, I'm husky. Nah, nobody's gonna do that. You know, you're fat, sir. You know, your grandmother has tried to pacify you but you know, beside her church members, she talking about you. You know, they talking about your hips and you know they talking. Wow, I wish I had them hips. So your grandson, it's really wild.
But you're also doing music.
Yes, I'm doing music. Back to the album. Yes. So Anderson .Paak. Think about Anderson .Paak. Think about Outkast. And think about Childish Gambino. It's in that vein. It's in that genre. It's funk rap. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm not clapping nobody, talking about shooting people. That's not me. I'd rather talk about something happy, like, you know, hey, saving some money, or you know, getting a free coupon to get some food at Popeyes. You know, something like that. You
well,
know, something
I,
like.
I find because I'm struggling a little bit lately because I've said this in the past, which is I hope never. I'm just thinking about it. Am I looking too far?
Oh, okay.
That's where the thought is. You're here. My thought's up there, so I got to go find it, get it down, and bring it to us.
Such a good actor. I would have thought Nicolas Cage was up there, and he was just going to drop down with some angel wings.
But
so dope, John. You know, like that. Something, you know. I had to give you one. I mean, come on. All right. Here we go. Sorry. Go ahead, John.
What I was going to say is, I was a very unhappy person for a very long time, and I used to say that for me, politics wasn't about hope. I don't really care about hope. I'm glad you have it, or if it's important and motivating to other people.
Right.
Obama gave people hope. That was great. Got people to come out and vote and do the right thing, but I was motivated by anger and rage.
Oh.
That was what got me. I was like, I'm mad.
Yeah.
And now I'm a happy person, and I'm like, wait, I'm not as mad as I used to be, so now I have to figure out how to be motivated by happier things.
Right.
And I feel like you're doing an album about kind of figuring out what it is to be happy.
Yes.
And how to, and after you've been through the kind of grinder of SNL and what that does to you.
The grinder of SNL, the fame that comes from being popular on that show, and also just the, man, just the accessibility that you have as somebody who is young in Hollywood, with, you know, women, with freaking, you know, drugs if you want, anything that you want, and being able to realize that, no, those things will never make you happy. And one of my friends had a famous quote. He said, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for everything. You know what I mean? So, or is that, maybe that ain't her quote, because somebody said it in the crowd, you know. That,
I think it's the kind of thing that on, like, brainy quotes that's attributed to Gandhi or Lincoln.
Okay.
So it could be whoever you want, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, okay, so it could be whoever, whatever I want. Mm-hmm. So, all right, I heard it. I thought she created it, but maybe maybe she didn't. And she ain't as thoughtful as I thought she was, you know? which is cool, but it's a good quote. If you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. Or is it everything? Anything, right? Everything?
Everything.
Everything. See,
everything.
She knows. She wrote it.
Anything.
You know what I'm saying? So being able to go through that journey with this project and in my life as a parallel has been beautiful, brother. Because, I mean, now, man, I'm super connected. I don't curse. You notice, yeah, I haven't cursed, right? I would normally curse. I don't curse off stage anymore. I'm trying to take it from my act because I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do it. I had no clue. Getting closer to my faith, I've been reading more, man, and you're not supposed to use those words. And you don't have to be funny. You know what I mean?
Oh, I think I need them.
You think you need them?
No, they're a crutch and I need them.
You, for real?
No, but I still like them having in my toolbox.
John,
you know what I mean?
John, you know what I love and you know what I always need in my life? Silk drawers. You know why?
Why?
Because when you move, they touch you. You know what I'm saying? It's real good. You know, I just find myself sometimes just moving from side to side. Cause it just feels good. And everybody who wears silk drawers understands me like this. You know, yeah. You got to get some. It make you feel better. You know.
You're right.
Yeah.
Can you guys make a note of that? I gotta get silk drawers.
Silk,
because it feels good to move around. I don't have them, but I need them. Speaking of being of the kind of world SNL puts you in.
Yeah.
You were once drunk at the White House.
Oh my gosh. Yes, and I was. The last party that the Obamas had before everything, you know, Trumped out. I was drunk. Yeah, I was drinking. So was everybody else, but I was having me a few. I talked to Obama, you know, and I wish I didn't that night. And the reason is because the conversation, John, check this out. Now, Obama comes up to me, and, you know, we've met before. Very gregarious guy, very amiable. He's Obama. You know, he has no choice. You know, he's got to be like that, or they gonna write about him. You know what I'm saying? So I see this guy. He goes,
well, Jay, man, I wish when you were on the show, we could have done something together.
And my drunk self just was like, oh, I can still make it happen. Yeah. I can make it happen. You know, I can hit Lorne Michaels up right now. I'm talking to the most powerful man in the world, telling him that I had the pull to get him back on SNL so me and him could do a sketch together. Yeah, I haven't had Don Julio since that night, son. You know what I mean? I haven't had it. It's crazy. So crazy. It's so real, man.
It's so funny to be like, don't worry, President Obama, I'll put in a good word for you.
Yeah, so that was my 757 hanging out, dog. You know, that's where I'm from. That's that Virginia hanging out there. But they wouldn't have done that, so it was just me. I messed up, you know.
I don't think you can blame your area code.
Yeah, we got always. You know, that's what the Ludacris said. He had holes in many area codes.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, 757. 404, my cell phone just overload. Yeah. We got that one too. Keep going, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, before Now that we've got a little Obama, we're going to use your skills to help people have hard conversations people struggle to have.
Oh, okay.
So here's how it works. I have a list of scenarios that people might need help with, and then we have
eggs.
The egg of truth, which is filled with people that you could potentially do an impression of.
Okay. Okay.
So first up.
Listen, man, the fact that you got Kevin Hart's summer home right here is ridiculous. Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
Because he's so
put
little.
His summer home? That's his, it's golden. He wasn't, come on, John.
Come on. Why would I do that, okay. Kevin Hart's summer home here on the table? First up, you have to break it to you that your wife wants to open the marriage.
Oh, man.
And you have to do it as Sebastian Maniscalco. You could tell Jerry, it's Jerry who wants his marriage open, or doesn't want his marriage open. He's about to find out his wife wants to open his marriage.
Well, the first thing I'm going to say, you got to make sure that your wife never feels like you like the other chick way more, because if she does, it's game, game over. You feel me? All right. Also, look into your wife's eyes. You gotta stare into her eyes. If you don't look into her eyes, she's gonna find Big Papa Kane and he's gonna pop a 19 right into your wife. And then you're gonna be like P. Diddy. You don't wanna do that. Why, Jerry? Why would you do that? Why would you do that, Jerry? Show the open relationship.
All right, next, amazing. Next up, we have to inform Jerry, who is your dad, that you want to go to school to become a professional clown and not for mechanical engineering like he thought. As Keanu Reeves.
Whoa. You know, you should really have a conversation with your dad about switching majors before the next payments come through. Whoa. Because if you do, he'll lessen the blow. And I can guarantee you want the blow lessened. I took over 20,000 blows during John Wick. It's insane. So talk to him, tell him from the heart what you want to do, and you'll be fine.
All right, let's do one more.
Wow.
That was amazing. Let's do one more. You have to tell Jerry that your test for chlamydia was positive.
Holy
crap. And you have to inform all your sexual partners. Let's do Denzel Washington.
So you've been out in these streets, huh, rookie? You've been out in these streets, huh? You've been out in the streets, you've been slanging the wood, you've just been doing it to you've been pumping it, you've been doing it to whoever you want to, right? That's what you've been doing, right? Okay, well, the first thing you gotta do now is you gotta strap up. That's what you gotta do first, right? You know what? You take that Magnum, you take that Trojan, and you put it on, and you protect yourself from what they call the ratchetry. Do you understand? Okay? Now that everybody's got chlamydia, this is what I need you to do. I need you to talk to them in a very calm tone. You understand? You talk to them in a very calm tone, Jerry. You talk to them just like this, like I'm talking. And you say, listen, you got it, but it's curable, okay? It ain't the worst, okay? You know why? Because it could have been the worst, you know? You could have had something that you could never get rid of, huh? Could have got that HSV2 one, you know what I'm saying? Huh? That's right, the one that makes your thing look like nerds, you understand? Okay, all right, so that's all you got to do, Jerry. Just talk to them just like this and say, listen, once you're cured, call me again. You understand? Okay, all right.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, Jay. Everybody, Jay's album, The Odyssey, is out as of this record right now.
Yes.
And you can check out the quiz with balls.
Yeah.
Which we didn't even talk about. But basically, you knock people off with giant balls into the water.
Yeah, just a regular Friday night for Jay Farrell. You know what I mean? I knock them off with my balls, you know? It's on Fox. We're in the third season, baby. And the rating,
They get the questions wrong. Good. They get knocked into the water giant fucking ball.
By a ball.
I curse.
Big ball. Listen, you can do your thing. You can curse.
I'm allowed.
Listen, yeah.
JayFarrowWorld.com for tickets to see him live. And we'll be right back with Zach Zucker.
Yeah!
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Not everyone experiences summer as an endless parade of hot dogs, vacations, and pool parties. For some people, life's woes don't abate when the temperature climbs and the days get longer. If you've got the summertime blues or simply feeling overwhelmed, BetterHelp is there when you need it. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recs. Everybody needs therapy. You need therapy. I need therapy. Even if you're busy, especially if you're busy, you gotta make time. If it's important to you, you make time. Everybody needs therapy. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/loveit. That's better, HELP.com/loveit.
And we're back. Please Check welcome to the stage a man who has dedicated his life to clowning around. It's Zach Zucker. There he is. There he is.
Hello, I did.
Come on, bring it in, buddy.
Do you notice anything different about me?
Okay. Thank you.
I know this is an audio medium.
Is it a haircut? Do you get a new haircut?
It's kind of what you would say. What is? I got a huge hat, John. Okay, everyone hates me already. No, I just also want to say I didn't realize I was sitting with three chubby losers as kids. I was jacked. I was a strong child. My legs were so big they were like, you must be five children on top of each other. And I was like, no, that's just what squatting from a young age looks like. But wow. I was ripped. And I see people are upset with me right now. But imagine this, way bigger. I kind of slimmed out as I grew up, but I was ripped as a child.
We just came up with our next movie we're going to do together. It's called Buff Baby.
Buff Baby.
Please, if the industry would dare to make such a film as this. But okay, again.
Well, corporate Hollywood afraid to do something challenging.
That's...
So, you recently... we're in a vulture story about the LA clowning community, and I want to give you an opportunity.
Thank you.
To address them because when I hear clown, when I think about what clowning is, I think of Zach because I think of somebody who has you went to France, you studied it, and you came back and you've interpolated into what you do, and then you're on the record in this article seeming to slam the clown community, and I thought that doesn't sound like the Zach I know. Care to comment?
Seems like you don't know me at all. No, it was bullshit. I have like a fatwa against me right now from the clown community. Everyone's so mad. I spoke about this, and this made me remember that I don't trust journalists. And they're not your friends, no matter how nice they are, because I spent 80 of my 90 minutes talking about how much I love this art form, how it is my favorite thing in the world, how I love community, how I love all the people, and how appreciative I am of everyone in there. And 10 minutes... 10 toes down, I will say this, slamming the sycophantic psychopaths who are in this community, who substitute therapy for performance. And they terrorize audience members, and they say this is this art form, and they ruin it. And they're people who've done one class once, and I think it's awesome. Like, you need to have this opportunity to be bad and get this out there. But like the whole article came because some guy from Heated Rivalry took two clown classes, and I'm like, well, if I took two pizza making classes, I'm not a pizza maker. I'm just a guy who did something twice. And so I'm heated.
Wow, there's so much. I didn't realize how much energy and emotion there is in the
clown. I've been sitting on this for 3 weeks. Dude, it's ruined friendships for me. If you're not taking care of the audience and you're not making people feel safe and you're not doing everything to just man, it's an art form of service, and I get so passionate about it because I love it. And so to have been misquoted so flagrantly with no context to remove all of the history that I feel I've added to this community and that I do with pride, to be only like coming in 90% of the way in as like a wrecking ball, dude, it was devastating. Absolutely devastating.
I'm glad you could talk about it. Well, because here's the reason I wanted to bring it up is because all I know about this I know through you, and but what people often say about you specifically is you decided to learn about clowning and it made you an extraordinary performer. It changed how you were on stage, and I see you as a remarkable performer on stage. And so it just must suck to then have this thing that you love, which transformed how you perform, become something where like all of a sudden you're seen as someone who's like being antagonistic about
it. No, dude, and I'm like, I'm a hater for the sport as a joke, but like I'm a lover first. Fellas, ladies, everyone in between. No, I'm like, I have to remember, I have to also be a little bit funny, too. I've come in hot. but what could you expect? I was a jacked child.
Wait, you also have your new special out, which is Jack Tucker. Which
I do.
I feel like a lot of people probably heard of you because of Jack Tucker and don't know that you're not Jack Tucker. You know what I mean? That they see Jack Tucker and they're like, oh, that's just the... like
That's the wet guy, but now
yeah,
he's
you're the
unwet.
Wet guy. Now you're dry. Now you're dry as bone.
Well, not when I'm talking to you, John.
All right.
You know, just because you're married doesn't mean we still can't.
I'm a married man. I'm a married man.
Look,
it's over between us.
We had fun.
You had a chance and you fucking blew it. And I'm not going to relitigate
this. Well, you told me
that's
what you wanted me to do. Don't tell me to blow it if you don't want me to blow it, John.
So you have a Stamptown special on Netflix.
Almost. It's coming soon. The Jack Tucker special is on YouTube. It would mean the world to me if you guys like it. I have a boy. He's 19 years old. He's small. And he's trying to play. He's trying to play baseball. So it would be so cool if you guys could watch this. And then we shot one for Netflix for our variety show.
That's awesome.
Thank you. I noticed I had a seat laid out for you, and there was like a balloon and some flowers there, and it was empty on show night.
Yeah, look, obviously it's just like really hard for me to be in the room for you watching you perform because of like that's where we met. And so it's like been difficult. And like I've moved on. I'm clear. I've moved on.
You say that a lot.
It doesn't have to be this way, John.
I'll never stop swirling the rumors.
It's great. I love it. The rumors.
One time someone posted on Reddit saying that we had chemistry, and I texted him being like, can I play with that? And that has been what I've done for 4 years.
Sure.
Allegedly.
Okay. Sure. Now it's time for a segment we call I Don't Care, I Love It.
I don't care. I love it.
Okay, great. Here's how it works. All of our guests will share something that they love that other people hate, that they may got shit for loving, but they don't care because they love it. We'll each have 60 seconds to defend the thing we love, and I'll kick it off. I'm gonna tell you something that I love that you may think is gross, and I'm just gonna tell you that it's awesome, and I've started doing this, which is I take a Diet Coke, and I add 2 shots of espresso and half and half. Yeah, and you know what? It's fucking awesome. It's delicious. It's carbonated. Mm-hmm. It's sweet because of the Diet Coke. It has 2 extra shots of espresso in it. It's got the creaminess from the half and half. It's awesome. It's delicious. And everyone looks at me like I'm crazy. It's great.
That's my man.
And you should try it before you... You see that part of you that's resistant to something that doesn't sound good to you? That anger or kind of disgust you feel for something new? That's the ICE agent in every heart. That's the Trump inside of you.
No.
That's the Trump in you.
No,
oh,
no,
something
John.
New? Disgusting.
No.
Thank you.
No, I'm sorry. I gotta make that face. Why don't you just have like an energy drink? They taste good and they're like bubbly and you're like, oh, I feel that in my veins.
Okay, you have that. I'll have my thing.
All right, I'm going to go with mine. I actually heard this recently. I love taking a hot bath or a hot shower. I crank it all the way up high, whether I'm at my house or at a public bath. I love taking baths like public places, public pools, bathhouses, stuff like that. But afterwards, and I actually carry them, I love after a hot bath, a cotton swab in my ear, in my ear canal. It's just like, just like really, it's borderline sexual for me. It just hits me like right there. It's Well, it's my G-spot. That's it, like right in there. And I feel it. And I recently told someone about it, and they said it's very bad to do that, that you're actually pushing wax into your brain. And you know what? I don't care. I'm going to keep doing it. I love the way it makes me feel. It fulfills me. And if it makes me feel good, I'm going to keep on pushing that wax into my brain.
Good. Absolutely. The box doesn't even acknowledge its true purpose. The Q-tip people are like, this is for cleaning your keyboard. You know it's for shoving it in my fucking ears. You didn't build that big headquarters from cleaning keyboards. You built it from people shoving these things in your ears. Your whole business is about the bus putting these things in your ears. You can look the other way, Q-tip, but you know what we're doing. You know what your business is.
I just want to say, with someone who has media training, I never said that brand. I said Cotton Swab. That was the big difference.
Wow. And as someone who doesn't have media training, I'm only thinking about putting them on my bum for the chlamydia test at the AHF Foundation, where you can get free sexual health testing.
Beautiful.
And as somebody that's crazy, I just envisioned while you were talking about the Q-tip and it talking, it had Richard Pryor's voice. And I don't know why I thought that.
But just, yeah, Jack is real messed up in here. Like, it's just dirty and it's sticky and I can't move myself.
I don't know. There you go. Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Yeah. All right. So check this out. I don't care what nobody says, son, okay? First of all, Peanut Butter Crunch is one of the best cereals ever. I don't care if it rips up the top of the roof of your mouth. Nobody cares, son. That's called battle scars. If I got... And you know what? I'm gonna give you something else. Ludacris is one of the greatest rappers of all time. Yes. That's right. Yes. Top five for me, mother uffa. I'm a monster in this game, similar to the Loch Ness. My rhymes is nappy rooted. Some verses gotta process the truth in this booth. Ain't no doubts when I'm rapping. If I said it, I either done it or it's about to happen. Luda. Yes, sir. And I still got 20 seconds because I'm nice, son.
Yes. Yes.
That was lovely.
Just give him some wine. He's good.
All right, Zach, you're up.
Damn. I mean, I want to enjoy. There was 4 seconds left to enjoy Ludacris. I just want to say we were talking about that backstage, and I know everyone's clamoring to know my opinion on it. I agree. And the crowd goes mild.
All right, you have 60 seconds, Zach. What is something you love that others hate?
I think I'm going to go a bit more local to Los Angeles specific and say, I love riding Lime scooters with speakers around my body. Yes. With an alleged spliff in my mouth, sunglasses, no shirt, bathing suit, ripping it down Sunset Boulevard. We are in California, people. What else are we supposed to be doing? And yeah, oh, you're the boombox guy? Oh, sorry, you mean the good pedestrian on the road practicing hearing safety? I don't have earplugs in my ears. I don't got headphones in my ears. I'm open to the road so I can hear, but I'm vibing out. You think I'm gonna miss that beautiful sunset? Right as it crests over Hillhurst? You're out of your goddamn mind. I'm gonna be scooting and booting, I'm gonna be smoking, and people are gonna be looking, and I'll be like, yeah, I'm nervous what you think about me, but I feel good, so it's okay. And I'm usually listening to Luda, you know what I mean? Oh, God, I'm a household name, a game, spitting out of my mouth at all times. I spit it out and about, and I spit it out and about until they recognize the date. Okay, no one even knows, but I...
And that's our show. Thank you so much to Jerry J and Zach. There are 144 days until the midterms. We'll be back next week with a very special Pride show. Have a great night and have a great weekend. Love It or Leave It is a Cricket Media production. Our show is produced by Kendra James, Bill McGrath, Kelsey Gante, and me, John Lovett. Our production team includes Hallie Kiefer, Sarah Lazarus, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Jay Banks, Gavin Purcell, and Matt DeGroat. And our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.